It's like we never left.
But we did.
We did. We're back. Hello, everybody.
Hi. What's up, bitches?
There's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Especially in Pittsburgh in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. So here we are. Let's just not give a list of what we're going to talk. Let's just get into it.
Yeah, do it.
So the trials and tribulations of the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation all started, I guess you could say, let's go back to last season.
Yep.
So let's go to the end of the season with Mason Rudolph stepping in for an injured Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
And
looked good.
Looked good. Carried them into the playoffs pretty much.
But they had an NFL offense under him.
Yeah. And
the eye test.
And see, I want to get into that a little bit. Okay. Just remind me to get into that a little bit with what happened to Pickett now.
Okay.
Okay. But if we look at it, I thought Mason Rudolph, and I'm just going to talk about one play. That pass that he threw to George Pickens in Seattle down the right sideline with four people in his face, that was an NFL throw.
He is an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
More so than Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
Now, I know you're a Pitt guy and you're a Pickett guy, but two of us sat here when we had a guest talking about Kenny Pickett, and you and the guest both said he's a first-round quarterback and he's an NFL starter for 10 years. Mm. And what did I say?
You disagreed.
I said he's not.
You politely disagreed.
Well, and because our guest was very nice. Mm. And he's not. He had one good year of football since he enrolled in college. That's it. Nobody in that draft class was a first-round talent. Every expert saw it. Just people that watched him saw it. He had a good year in the ACC. Pittsburgh fell for it. Now, I don't know if they thought that they could coach him out of his non-professional ways of his happy feet and the way he spins around in the pocket when the pressure gets there. He does. Let's just say the difference between him and Mason Rudolph was Rudolph will stand in a pocket till the last minute, get popped in the mouth, but he'll still throw the ball.
Have his helmet ripped off and wailed over his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll get to that point. I thought that the game after possibly the worst offensive coordinator in NFL history was fired. Pickett threw for 280.
The
offense went for over four.
They still only scored 16 points.
Right. So there were still red zone issues. Okay. They should have won that game by a much larger margin.
Agreed.
All right. But he was throwing the ball down the seam to Freiermuth.
For the first time all year,
across the middle. They had an offense designed to go attack the middle of the field. He looked really good in that game. Looked really good in that game. Okay. It was his highest passer.
For him, he looked good.
His highest passer rating as a starter. The next game against Arizona looked decent in the first quarter, got hurt in the second quarter, trying to score a touchdown. Surgery on his ankle, season over. Okay. So then Mason Rudolph comes in. Well, no, then it's Mitch Trubisky.
I was going to say, you forgot one.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, and there's just absolute catastrophe for the rest of that game against the Cardinals. Catastrophe against the New England Patriots. Just looked pathetic. And then you bring in Mason Rudolph, and also the Indianapolis Colts. That was a bust.
Yeah.
Then they bring in Rudolph. At the end of the Colts game, then he's starting the next game against Cincinnati in Pittsburgh. Okay, and I'll tell you a story. So I was unavailable to watch the first quarter of that game. I was recording it.
Okay.
All right. So I come out of the event I was in. I get in my car. I turn on the radio. I hear the now retired Billy Hillgrove say, and we'll be back at Acrisure Stadium with our score, Pittsburgh 21, Cincinnati nothing. And I turned the radio off, and I looked at my wife, and I said, there's been a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear what I hear?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, there's no way. And then let's just fast forward. Mason Rudolph played very solid football for a quarterback for the rest of the season. All right, you could say
he did. That
was a really good win against the Bengals. That was a really good win against the Seattle Seahawks, who also needed to win to make the playoffs. So don't tell me they weren't motivated.
Oh, no, okay. They tried to win that game.
Right. Ravens, Okay, they were sitting a lot of guys.
It's all right. Let's face it, you still have to win it.
But it's still the Ravens.
At Baltimore.
At Baltimore in really crappy weather conditions, okay?
And I thought he played well in the playoff game.
And I thought he played, I thought he did too. But again, Steelers having problems in the red zone, finishing drives. He threw that interception in the end zone was a killer, where they were going in to at least make it a 17-7 game at that point. That hurt.
Well, so, I mean, every quarterback's going to do that.
Right.
I didn't think Kenny Pickett was bad because he turned the ball over, because he didn't turn the ball over. I thought he was bad because he didn't throw the ball down the field.
He didn't throw the ball down the field.
And he didn't throw it across the middle.
Mm-mm.
But
so I
don't care what you say. He was Rudolph. When you watch the Pittsburgh Steelers, when Rudolph started games,
mm-hmm.
their offense looked like an NFL offense. Didn't look like way to meet and pick it. Even the game where he threw for damn near 300, they still only scored 16 points, and it just didn't look. It was hard to watch.
Now let's look at two quarterbacks and how the Steelers managed their quarterback situation. Okay, they had an aging Ben Roethlisberger. They bring in Mason Rudolph. Okay, how do you feel like they handled him? As far as when that year, okay, let's look at the year when Roethlisberger got hurt.
That year got hit over the head with the helmet.
Right. So Roethlisberger gets hurt. Mason Rudolph got none of the first team snaps in OTAs, mini camp, training camp. So he's going in and it's like, okay.
You started practicing after Ben got hurt.
Right, right. So then it ends up that he starts really struggling and they hand the keys over to Duck Hodges. Okay. Also remember, too, Rudolph took a vicious concussion that season.
He did.
You know, a really bad one.
I didn't agree with them going to Duck Hodges.
Yeah.
But you can tell by who's out of the league and who's just signed another contract. But he didn't play great when he came in for Ben that first year, but it was a limited amount of games. And like you said, he wasn't prepared to play.
He wasn't prepared to play. So then, you know, Roethlisberger comes back. Has his time till he retires, all right?
And he wasn't good the last year and a half either.
No, but who's to blame? Is there a combination? You're still under Matt Canada.
Yeah, but he didn't call. He called his own plays anyway. That's why Canada was there.
But also, Ben was aging. He wasn't the same. Wasn't the same guy.
He was surgically repaired
elbow.
Yeah,
he couldn't move. Even Ben says. It wasn't my upper body. My lower body was shot.
Yes.
I couldn't move. I couldn't move
but
around.
But you know what? He earned it.
Yeah, he did. He earned it.
You're not throwing him to the crowd.
And guess what? He still made the playoffs, which is hilarious. He still made it. They got their asses handed to him by the Chiefs.
It's all right.
Okay, you made the playoffs. As Tomlin likes to say, you make it to the tournament. Okay? It's a single elimination tournament. You made it to the tournament. And that's been the biggest.
You can't win a Super Bowl if you don't make the playoffs.
No, you can't. You can't. But the Steelers haven't been anywhere close for the past number of years. So
that's a Tomlin issue.
So they draft Pickett. And then, you know, so here's Mason Rudolph. Basically, then at that point,
they get Mitch Trubisky. They signed Trubisky to
which
a
was
2-year deal.
And you and I both agreed.
It was a horrible sign.
That was a mistake.
Look, I've seen Mitch Trubisky the show before. He shouldn't have been picked where he is, and that's not his fault. That was Chicago watching college football all year, and at the very last minute, going Trubisky.
Yeah.
Right? It was a horrible pick.
Right.
It was as bad as the Trey Lance pick. These NFL GMs get in their own head.
Yeah.
It's not how it should have been. Zach Wilson was picked.
Yeah.
Over Fields. All year long, it was Lawrence and Fields. And there were some people out there that thought Fields was better than Lawrence in college.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Bottom line, he was right there, and they went with Zach Wilson. How'd that work out?
Right.
So, back to the Pickett thing, he was no good. I wasn't convinced he's an NFL quarterback. I still don't think I think he can be a 10-year backup.
He can be a 10-year backup, which isn't a bad job to have.
Not for him, but ego is one that says, I'm playing. That's why he's not in Pittsburgh anymore.
Well,
he didn't want to back up Wilson.
And just as an aside, like the amount of, and I don't know exactly what happened or what went down, and we can get into that. All right. So fast forward.
I think we will.
Well,
it'll come out.
Fast forward. To the Steelers this offseason decide to sign an aging Russell Wilson, who Denver didn't want so much that they're eating a gigantic portion of that contract, $38 million.
Well, let's not forget that Seattle didn't want him.
Yeah, and now Denver didn't want him, even though everybody brings up that he threw 26 touchdowns last year.
All right, well, so what? Right. Blind squirrel, acorn, maybe the, you know, you don't know what how many of those things were the defenders fell down, maybe. Maybe it was a crossing pattern. He just hit it, and the receiver made a hell of a move.
So then they trade Kenny Pickett to the Eagles.
Kenny Pickett was traded because he didn't want to back up Russell Wilson.
And then Steelers trade for Justin Fields. So I'm more curious. I think we're both on agreement with Russell Wilson. All right. I think he's got limited.
He's 1 year.
He's getting old.
Now, if I'm the Steelers right now, I go to Fields and say, I'll give you 3 and 45.
Well, let's talk about Fields. I want your thoughts on Justin Fields.
I love him.
All right. Expand on that.
I like the way he moves out of the pocket. He can run. He's one of the best running quarterbacks. I put him right up there with Mr. Baltimore as one of the best scrambling quarterbacks as far as hard to tackle once he gets going. I think he's faster than Lamar Jackson in a straight line. He has a hell of an arm. He went to a Chicago team that had, A, no weapons. They have one receiver, Mooney, and he was a rookie when he was started. No weapons whatsoever, and their offensive line sucked. He was sacked, I think, either the most in the league or the second most in the league since he's been to Chicago. Now, is he Patrick Mahomes? No. But I certainly don't. How many drives do you think he can keep alive on 3rd and 8 when they blitz and he gets away from the blitz and has an open field? You can't get him.
Last season, Justin Fields for Chicago was 227 of 370 for a 61.4% completion rate.
Anything over 60, I'm good with in the NFL.
2,562 yards, 6.9 yards average per completion.
Not great. Captain check down.
Right.
I think he had to because of the pressure.
16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. His longest completion was 58 yards.
He throws a good ball, deep ball. So does Russell Wilson.
With an 86.3 rating.
Okay. 86.3 rating.
Right.
Again, with that offensive line and that scheme. And let's not forget, the Bears' defense of 3 or 4 years ago when Trubisky actually led them to the playoffs is no longer that defense.
Why was Justin Fields picked? Why did it take till the 11th pick in that first
round? Because the Jets took Wilson like an idiot. He was the second best quarterback in the nation behind Lawrence all year. Mm-hmm. All year. Everybody said it. Me, I said it. Nobody cares what I say. The experts all said it. He's the best quarterback. Wilson threw good in a pair of shorts at his pro day in the New York Jets, as the New York Jets will do, J-E-T-S, suck.
Right.
Fell for this Justin Wilson thing. Now, from there, why did he fall down to 11? How many teams that picked ahead of him needed a quarterback? They all had one.
Right.
He went to where he should have went. He should have been playing for the Jets.
I want to go game by game from last year. First game, I'm going to name these opponents, and you tell me when to stop where you want to know the stats of how he played against that team. Okay, I'm not going to go through every single one of them.
No, you can.
But let's just, you know, Green Bay.
I don't care.
Okay.
Defense wasn't great.
Atlanta.
No.
Arizona.
No.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cleveland has a good defense.
19 for 40.
That's horrible.
For 166, 47.5% completion rate, 4.2 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks.
And why is that? Because the pass rush of Cleveland ate up the offensive line in Chicago.
Versus Detroit.
Yeah, they have a good defense.
19 to 33 for 223.
There you go.
Completion percentage of 57.6.
Not great. But again, they have a good rush.
At Minnesota.
Nope.
At Detroit.
Same thing, yeah. Go ahead.
16 for 23 for 169.
Okay, so he missed 7 passes. Mm. They weren't big, long passes because he didn't have time.
His quarterback rating for that game was 105.2. Touchdown, no picks. Home against Minnesota.
Nope.
At Washington.
Nope.
Home against Denver.
No.
That was his best game of the year, by the way.
And they suck.
28 of 35 for 335 for an 80% completion percentage.
And why? Because Denver has no pass rush.
Four touchdowns and one pick.
No pass rush.
At Kansas City.
Yeah.
11 for 22 for 99 yards.
That's bad.
At Tampa.
No.
And then home against Green Bay.
No, doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay.
He played. So, he didn't play a good schedule.
No, but you're also saying he didn't have a supporting cast.
He had no line. All I'm saying is line and no weapons. Mm-hmm. Quick, on the top of your head, starting tight end for Chicago. Go.
No.
Running back, starter. Mm. Name their two receivers.
Moody is one.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the only one I can remember.
Good luck.
Claypool for part of the year.
But my point is, if I ask you to name those same counterparts for the Pittsburgh Steelers,
you name them
rattle
all.
Them off.
Name,
right?
Name them
I can
all,
name
right.
the Cowboys. I could name probably the Redskins with McLaren.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If they're good, you know them.
Right.
Go to the Chiefs.
Right.
You know the answers to all that.
Yep.
Right? They got a running back from Rutgers, for God's sakes.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. We talked about Pacheco.
And here's the thing. You know part of my draft strategy is you don't take anyone from Rutgers or Temple.
You should have taken him.
Well, and one guy has proven me wrong. Two. Who's the there's a linebacker that played. He's an Eagle.
God.
He just re-signed. Good pass rusher.
He re-signed with the Eagles?
Yeah. Reddick.
Okay.
Is it Reddick? I think so. I think he went to Temple or Rutgers. I think he went to Temple. Hassan Reddick. Have our producer if it gets out of off her ass.
Yeah, Scooby. Soon. Scooby.
You got it. You're going to have to pick it up when we're on the air, Scoob.
No, we'll find it. We'll go through the roster.
But my point is about the Justin Fields. My concern right away with Wilson or him is for whatever reason. Pittsburgh still doesn't have a center.
Right.
And I don't like their left tackle.
Well, their left tackle actually should be Broderick Jones, but he's playing right tackle. So if you get him into left tackle, then you like the left tackle.
I do.
Now you need a right tackle. Because
you need two linemen.
Dan Moore is garbage.
He's a swing tackle. He'll fill in a few games, right, if someone gets hurt?
I guess.
He's fine. I don't know if he's even good enough to play right tackle. I don't know if he's capable.
I don't think he's capable. That's why he's playing left, and you've got Broderick Jones playing on his off position on the right.
But they don't have a center on the roster, and they're going to put Herbert in or whatever it is. So whatever Pittsburgh has done, and let me just say this, every guy they signed so far this offseason, the punter, Patrick Queen, mm-hmm. the two quarterbacks, they are all better than the people
they
replaced.
Right.
So they got better at every position.
So how would you grade the Steelers so far in the offseason with their acquisitions and trades, if you gave them a grade?
B+, only because they didn't address a line.
Yet.
You said to date.
Yeah, to date.
B+.
And they went after, they talked to the Buffalo Bills center. They missed out on him. Because I think they kicked the tires on him and a couple other people. But I think they're looking at how deep the draft is with centers. You know, you've got that kid out of Oregon that everybody's mocking. You got
Powers Johnson.
Yeah, you got Frazier from West Virginia.
Who's injured.
Yeah, yeah, he's hurt.
But that's it. There may be one more. It's not a deep center class.
Yeah, but there's guys that are going to be within their grasp that they're going to be able to get.
Like
okay. If they want to get one of those guys.
Okay, and they also need?
They also need a tackle. They also need some receivers now.
They have no receivers.
Deontay Johnson. You're down to George Pickens, Calvin Austin, and that kid from the Chargers. Jefferson that they picked up.
Fine, but yeah. they don't need, they need two of them.
Yeah, they need two receivers.
They still need another tight end. If Freiermuth gets hurt, they have no tight ends.
I saw a story that Arthur Smith wants to bring back Zach Gentry.
I'm okay with that.
He loves him because he's
better
than
whatever's behind.
Well,
Freiermuth.
No, like Darryl Washington is a great blocker.
He's not a
great
tight end. Let me tell you something. If you play for Georgia and you don't catch passes, you can't catch.
No, then but he's also
a lineman.
He's like having an extra tackle.
He is
on that side. They played him as such. They didn't fake
it. He likes it.
Yeah,
he doesn't mind blocking people on
their
ass.
And why do you think the Steelers' running game improved? They kept on running to his side.
One of the reasons it improved is they went away from that zone read.
Yeah.
They went block the guy that's ahead of you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you have a rookie quarterback and not a good one in Kenny Pickett, and you're doing this zone read where you have to hesitate and the defense doesn't for a second to see if he handed it off, mm-hmm. and then if he did, you got to worry about getting ineligible man downfield, because they call that in every play now in the NFL.
Right.
You can't just exactly get out of your stance and knock somebody in the mouth.
Right, right.
That's fixed.
Right.
They fixed that.
Right.
But I think every move they did, I don't know why they would cut people without having, without doing it first. No, like they don't have a center on the roster.
No, no.
So I don't know. Like I said, every person they picked up and traded for or signed is better than what they lost.
Yeah, yeah. I like the Patrick Queen signing. I really do.
I think he's best linebacker on the roster. There's no doubt about it.
But some people came out and said one person gave that acquisition an F.
Because they said he's only good because he played with Roquan Smith.
Right.
And that's bullshit.
The only reason why he's good.
So, did you see how many tackles he made?
He's all over the field. Like, I watched the games.
Okay, Roquan Smith was good.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything to do with him going sideline to sideline, knocking people down. I don't think he's great in coverage.
No.
But there's not many NFL linebackers that are.
The last good coverage linebacker the Steelers had, unfortunately, was Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, and he was just a good player.
He was a generational talent. And I know you hate to say that coming from Ohio State.
Oh, no, he was a real deal.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's where the Steelers are right now. They still have an awful lot of needs. We will certainly be having a podcast to talk about the draft.
I am halfway.
You're halfway there.
I've done the quarterbacks, I've done the safeties, I've done the tight ends, and I've done, I forget which other position I have done already.
Well, the Steelers are going to have to pick up a third-string quarterback somewhere. So
They'll
draft somebody in the later rounds.
Desmond Ridder would be perfect in the third or fourth round.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, there are probably 8 first-round receivers.
Yeah.
For the first time since I can't remember, since I started, I'm a draft nerd.
Yeah.
Been doing this since I was 15.
Right.
For the first time since I started doing it, maybe in 15 years, there are more first-round talents than there are first-round picks. Usually, there's only 15 or 16 first-round grades, and there's 32 teams.
Yeah.
This year, there's more than 32 first-round talent
guys.
I mean, all positions, if you count them up.
The Steelers also need to pick up a corner.
They do.
They need another
But
corner.
Again, that's a deep class, too.
Okay.
There's probably 4 first-rounders and 4 second-rounders.
Okay. Okay.
They all tested very well. Probably one of the weakest positions in the draft is linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kid from Texas A&M is really good, but he's not going to be a first-rounder. You can't take him. I think they're going to take Powers Johnson from Oregon in the first round. If he's there. Dallas doesn't have a center on their roster.
What if Mims from Georgia drops to them at 20?
Take him.
You take him there. And then you try to get Frazier in the second round because Powers Johnson will be gone.
Or the kid from Illinois, whatever. But right. If Powers Johnson's there and Mims is there, I'm still taking Powers Johnson. I think he is Zach Martin of centers.
Okay.
Zach Martin at the Senior Bowl didn't get beat one time.
Mm-hmm.
The Senior Bowl this year, that Powers Johnson from Oregon took on 2 players and didn't give up any pressure.
Right.
He's as good as – I think he's the best – lineman period in the draft of tackles, guards, and centers. He's the best lineman period.
Interesting.
And I think they're taking him unless someone jumps him. If you want him, Dallas, you're going to have to move up.
Yeah. Somebody's going to have to trade ahead.
Yeah, and if you don't get him, then you got the kid from West Virginia who's going to fall because of an injury.
Right.
There's a kid from Illinois. Other than that, you just got big dudes.
His name's not Kendrick Green, is it?
It is not.
Okay, good. That's good to hear because I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh would want to hear that.
Yeah.
Especially, since they traded Dotson away and Dotson just signed a gigantic extension with huge money because he actually got coached up and played well.
He actually played really well.
And his actual
position
that he should have been playing in the first place.
Yep.
But, Tomlin still of the mind. It's like, oh, we can just plug him in here and he's going to do fine. Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, to their credit, they figured he was so good he could play anywhere.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
He didn't. So let's talk a little NCAA basketball.
I'm going to tell you right now, I know you're a Pitt dude.
Go ahead.
They got shafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only going to say one reason why.
Okay.
Their schedule was shit. You can't help that. It was made 4 years
ago. You can't help it.
For 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But if Virginia gets in, Pitt's got to get in.
Right.
They were better than Virginia.
Yeah, they proved it on the court.
In every aspect. Virginia did not deserve to get in except for their name.
That was a legacy pick. That was
whatever it was.
In. Right.
But you finished fourth in the ACC. This isn't football ACC.
Yeah.
This is basketball ACC.
Oh, but the ACC is this a really bad down year for them?
Yeah.
Like they conference. Yeah, we'll see. Exactly.
Because they always have a team in a Sweet 16.
And they usually have a team in the Final Four.
The ACC is no joke in basketball, and I don't care where you go. There's every year the ACC is known for hoops.
Right.
If Virginia gets in, Pitt has to get in.
Yeah.
They took Carolina down to the final 3 minutes, 2 minutes.
With their best player having a bad game.
Well, their best player, I don't know if he scored.
He did.
He missed every jump shot he took.
He couldn't hit the
barn. But I can tell you,
barn.
Whoever was guarding that guy.
Did a hell of a job.
It was Velcro.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He didn't have an open look.
They had a plan.
They said, take him out. Let him beat him without him. And they almost did.
Almost. Yeah.
But if you watch Pitt, the eye test, they always say just these. I don't think the committee members.
No, I don't think they watch games. I think they just look at numbers.
I do.
I think we were talking about it before we opened up the microphones. All right. So last night, Virginia showed why they didn't belong in the tournament. They scored 14 points in the first half.
Well, and their offense was bad all year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, why are they there? This morning, apparent expert bracketologist of ESPN, Joe Lunardi.
Say no more. ESPN, garbage. Political goes, ESPN.
Goes after Pitt.
Unprovoked. For no reason. For no reason.
No reason. Unprovoked.
They're not even in the tourney anyone after.
No. And he goes after Pitt. So what
because
he made
because they
it,
declined the NIT.
Oh, you know what? Piss on the NIT.
So did Pitt, five other teams.
No, there was a lot more than that. There was a lot more than
I
that.
I saw
that
like
said,
six teams.
There were like 9 or 10 that told the NIT no.
Yeah.
Because it's irrelevant.
Nobody cares.
And the next day, the portal was opened up. So that's neither here nor there. I do agree with people that say that like they got to move that ahead a couple of weeks.
They
because
should.
Yeah. But anyway, he goes after Pitt. For like totally unprovoked, all right, and basically said even if Pitt had beaten North Carolina, they wouldn't have gotten in.
That's bullshit.
They would have had to win the ACC tournament. I'm like, I actually responded on X. So riddle me this: you finish fourth in the ACC, and then you would finish as a runner-up in the ACC tournament, and that's still not enough. How is that even possible?
It's not. And if it is, there's something wrong.
Right. And then these
and
other...
I don't... You know I don't like Pitt. And I don't care two shits
No,
about
I know
Pitt.
You don't. But, yeah. but the other thing
they
is, too,
been in.
And all these local Pittsburgh people are like, well, if you would have played Duquesne, spare me.
Yeah. Do you know what Duquesne was seeded?
Yeah.
Sixth. In their tournament.
In the A-10, which is a garbage conference. Garbage conference.
Six seed, and they got hot and won. Everyone says, did you hear what the Pittsburgh talk show boys said today?
Oh, my God.
They're picking Duquesne to the final 16.
They're not going to beat BYU.
I hope they get beat by 30.
Yeah, they're not going to beat BYU.
The Pittsburgh talk shows, I wish you people that didn't live in Pittsburgh
could
just come and listen to 93.7.
Go online and listen to these morons.
And they're homers in every sport.
Well, the grumpiest idiot finally retired and moved to Florida.
Ron.
Yeah, Ron's gone. So we don't get to hear Grumple Stiltskin.
No, but now I get to hear a guy who can't speak English. Where are we? What are we talking about?
Zeiss. He's the 93.7 version of Joe Biden.
he is. He hasn't shit himself on air yet, but that might be the only difference.
I mean, it's mind boggling. And I know you. I know there's a guy that you like. Okay, I know you like Mark Madden.
I wouldn't say I like him.
Okay,
I've said I agree with him more than anybody else.
Okay. So, but the thing is, this is what people got to realize about Mark Madden online. He's a troll.
He's a professional wrestling history.
Yeah, I understand. But as far as like trying to get a rise out of people, He's a troll.
He comes from professional wrestling. Yeah, that's what he did. Like, literally, he worked in that industry.
Right, right.
So he's been around Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage and all these guys that say stuff and act a certain way.
He had a major falling out with Ric Flair, but please go on. Yeah.
But to get ratings.
Yeah.
That's all he knows.
And that's what he does.
And he followed it.
Yep.
To radio. He's been very successful. He's made a lot of money.
Got fired by ESPN.
And if you meet him at an event,
yeah,
nothing like the guy that responds on Twitter.
Oh, I see him.
Nice guy.
Every time I go to the
Palace. And he's very knowledgeable about Pittsburgh.
Well, especially hockey.
Football and hockey.
So every time I go to the Palace Theater to see an 80s hair band, I see him. He's in his opera box.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, he's by himself in his opera box.
And he's a big Liverpool soccer guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, whatever. He's just, you know.
Other than the fact he likes soccer, I like him. And of everybody in this town that thinks they know sports, I agree with him more than anybody else.
Do you agree?
Whatever
he
says.
Do you agree with him more than Colin Cowherd?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
I agree with Colin Cowherd a lot.
Two of the biggest jabronis on the planet, and you agree with them.
My feelings are pretty much the same with both of them.
So let's,
yeah, absolutely.
So let's get to the tournament itself. Like, who are you thinking in your brackets?
You can't. I filled out a bracket. You got to take UConn. Here's what everybody doesn't get. You have to take chalk. If you want to win a bracket, you got to go chalk.
Yeah.
Right? You can pick five or six upsets in the first round. Maybe a couple, one upset to go to the Sweet 16 if you want, because it happens
every
year.
They're picking Kansas to get upset
you
in the first round.
You don't know. You have no idea. And I took Kansas to go to the Final Eight.
And their best players out for the tournament.
Could be out. So is Florida's kid broke his foot.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Roll the ball out. And if you tell me James Madison is going to go to the Sweet 8, it could.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's teams that are 33-3. Now, does that mean their conference is bad? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But they've also won 30 games.
Right.
Right? So that means they can shoot. They got a rebound once in a while. They can't win 30 games without rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
This is as open as it's ever been. I think UConn is the best team in the nation, again.
Right.
They won it last year.
Yeah.
They have a chance to repeat. I hate John Calipari. He's cheated everywhere he's been, but he always wins. And they are getting hot and healthy at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch Kentucky, and they have an easy road to the Final Eight.
Did you see that whole thing with Hurley and Rick Pitino
Rick Pitino.
In their Big East tournament matchup.
I didn't.
And Hurley had this St. John's fan kicked out of the game.
I did see that.
Okay.
But I don't know why. I didn't see why.
No, it was kind of like Hurley has become the men's UConn basketball version of Gino Auriemma.
Okay.
Who's an asshole.
Yeah, he always has been.
And so is Hurley.
Yeah.
Like Hurley is a whiny bitch like always. His brother, like Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
Like Bobby, like I remember.
Absolutely.
The look on Bobby Hurley's face all the time when he played for Duke was just this whiny kid. Like he could have hacked someone down to the ground and broken their forearm and they would have called a foul on him and he would have bitched and moaned about it. Like, that's kind of just how their MO is. That's how they are.
That's what they do.
Right. So, you know, you got UConn. I actually have Iowa State.
Iowa State is another one of those teams that can go to the Final Four or lose the first game. Uh-huh. There's 15 teams that could win their first game or lose their first game, or go to the Final Four.
If they play like they did against Houston in their championship game, in the Big 12 championship game, they could go far.
Absolutely. But they don't.
No, they're not. According to you, they're not consistent enough.
Well, but
UConn could get beat.
There's no team. I like Kentucky getting hot if you're filling out your brackets. I do like James
Kentucky's
Madison.
Playing in Pittsburgh, so there'll be a big Kentucky contingent coming.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, what's Duke?
What are they?
North Carolina could win it all.
Yeah, but then North Carolina laid an egg against NC State.
And NC State's everyone's pick because they got hot.
But the thing is, the reason NC State won is they could do something that Pitt couldn't do that night, is bang around on the inside
rebound of
their bigs and rebound. Yeah.
Pitt has no rebounding.
No, they don't have a dominant.
They have good rebounding guards.
Guards, right.
But they don't have a guy. They have that skinny white dude.
The twin brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both need to put on some weight. They'll be good in the next 2 years.
Yeah. Federico's a monster.
I like him.
But he needs to bulk up a little
bit. But he can also rebound.
Yeah.
Those twins,
they can't rebound. They can shoot.
They get pushed away.
They can shoot, but they can't rebound.
They're one of those. I played high school ball with guys that were 6 foot seven and wouldn't go inside a 3 point line.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
They can shoot.
They can absolutely shoot.
But they got screwed. They should have been in the tournament. It didn't matter. They're not going to go anywhere anyway.
I mean, they could have won a game or two.
They could.
Yeah, they could. I mean, I think they could have beaten Colorado State.
They could have.
You know, but
I think Colorado State's good enough to win two games.
Yeah.
Again, it's going to be matchups. It's going to be who's hot.
Yeah. And I find it hilarious. Like, the trolls that came out were mostly from West Virginia after Pitt didn't get in. And I'm like, you guys were what, 6-22?
Yeah. And Bobby Huggins is found drunk again in the parking lot of the arena.
Yeah, that was your season. Bobby Huggins being incoherent behind the wheel.
And his daughter saying he doesn't have a drinking problem. Everybody gets pulled over seven times a year.
Yeah, did you see his interview with Bob Pompeo?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I wouldn't listen.
Oh my God.
He's another guy that's cheated everywhere he's been.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, I didn't wake up in the morning and drink. I don't drink every day, hence I don't have a drinking problem.
Well, I guess that means you're not an alcoholic.
I guess, but boy, it sounds like when he drinks, he really drinks.
Listen,
he's a power drinker.
We all have friends, including me. And I don't get it.
Yeah.
If you and I want to go to a bar and watch a game, we can have two or three beers and go home.
Yeah.
Not drunk.
Yeah.
Enjoy a beer, enjoy a mixed drink, maybe a different cocktail.
Yeah.
We both have friends that if they're the only reason they drink is to get drunk.
Yes.
So why would I drink if I don't feel drunk afterwards?
Yeah.
Well, I don't get that.
Yeah.
That's not me.
I don't either.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Why would I drink unless I'm going to get bombed?
Right. Right.
I don't get it. He's one of them.
I don't get it. And somebody that I know, he can put away a copious amount of booze. Like, it's staggering. Okay. Never seen him throw up. I've never seen
because he does it all the time.
Like, I mean, he just never.
He built up his stamina.
And I've known him for a long time. And wakes up in the morning.
Fine.
Fresh as a daisy.
Yeah, that pisses
ready
me off.
To roll.
I have seven beers and I'm hungover as shit. You used to drink a 30 pack and get up and go out and do it again. Now
yeah.
I can't have more than six or I'm hungover for a whole day.
So,
but that either way, we digress. But that's Huggins. If he starts drinking, he's drinking the whole day.
Yep. So you're I got a question. I don't remember his name because you're a Penn State guy.
Okay.
The kid that got dismissed from the basketball team.
He was a leading story. Wasn't Clary.
But now he's in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
He averaged like 17 points a game.
About three or four of them are.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What's going on with like the future of Penn State basketball?
Well, right? They suck. They've always sucked. Why a school like that in the Big Ten can't get a 7-footer that can, I don't even care if they can walk and chew gum at the same time. They don't have any rebounders. They never get a big man. Calvin Booth played in the NBA and he was no good in college.
Yeah.
He played in the NBA for 10 years. He came out of Penn State. Then they had some English big man from London, and I can't remember his name, but he played in the NBA for a couple years. Very smart man, like a rocket scientist. Anyway, Penn State got a new coach. Their coach went to Notre Dame and absolutely sucked this year because of NIL. They didn't give him a draft. He was good. This new coach for Penn State.
Demetrius Lilly. That's the kid who's
yeah,
in
and
the
he
portal.
He's a big fat kid.
Yeah.
Lazy. Lazy and slow. That's why he's at Penn State in the first place. 2 points a game, two rebounds a game. He's 7 foot tall.
Former Penn State hoops guard Kanye Clary.
Yep.
Yeah, he's another one.
Well, he's the leading scorer. Now, here's the problem with him.
Yeah.
According to the coach, and he benched him for this.
Right.
He freelanced too much.
16.7 points, 2.9 rebounds, and 2.8 assists a game.
He didn't run plays.
Mm-hmm.
He freelanced.
He would freelance. Right?
He would just, if he called a play, the coach, he didn't. Sometimes he ran it. Most of the times he just tried to dribble, get around a pick, and one-on-one it.
Right.
One-on-five it sometimes.
Right.
What are you going to do? This guy has a hard task. The coach left. He got the whole team in a transfer portal this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had some really good games. You can't win in a Big Ten without a big guy.
Yeah.
You've never been ever. Everyone says guards, no big men or no more. Mm-hmm. Every Big Ten team has 2 7-footers.
Yeah.
Indiana has a 7-footer. Illinois has a 7-footer. They're just, the Big Ten is big men.
And Purdue certainly has a 7-footer.
Purdue has a big
I think he's 7'8".
I don't know what he is. Eddie's his name. He's soft.
He's very soft. But he likes to talk.
He gets every
smack.
Rebound.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Purdue's another team that they're not going to win it because they're a Big Ten team.
Right.
Big Ten teams.
Well, the bracketologists love them.
Yeah,
they love them.
They like the Big Tennies.
They love them, and they never win. They haven't won a natty since 2000.
Yeah, it's just they don't play the type of basketball that you'll win 6 games in a row against good teams.
Yeah.
They slow it down. They try to play good defense. They get the ball inside, and then if you double-team him, he'll kick it back out.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Big Ten games are 58-54.
Yeah.
You can't play that way in a tournament.
Right.
You got this teams like FAU is going to have 7
They're
guards.
They're going to run up and down the court.
And they just go up and shoot threes all day.
Right.
And if they get to 60 before you get to 50, it's over.
Right.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. This NCAA tournament's going to be fun. I'm going to drink and watch it.
Yeah.
And
if anybody wants to meet us on Friday.
Friday at noon at the sports bar at the casino in Greensburg?
At Live Casino. We'll be there at the current Westmoreland Mall / Live Casino. Come on up and say hi.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if you say you heard us on the podcast, we're going to be there, I will buy your first drink.
Absolutely. If you recognize us.
Which I don't know how you will.
If you recognize us.
Because I'm going to dress up as a woman. With a goatee.
Let's look at, got a couple, we still got some time here. You are a much bigger baseball fan than I am.
I'm a nerd.
Okay.
So
one of our largest listened to podcasts was when you did like the fantasy baseball. So let's talk a little bit about
me and seven other 50 or 60 year olds.
Yeah.
Love baseball in the Pittsburgh area. And we've been doing it now for I don't know how many years.
I used to love baseball until Bob Nutting took over the Pirates.
Yeah, I get it.
It's just not fun anymore.
But PNC Park is, if you've never been there, it is
phenomenal.
Angelic.
It's a great place to watch.
You cannot not feel good. If you like baseball in the slightest bit, you walk into that stadium at night and the city lights come on. And the views and the bars, the food.
Yep.
It's just a phenomenal place.
The trouble is, I am a baseball fan. Okay, I when I was a kid, there was one season. Do you remember? Oh my God, what was it called? There was a sport. You didn't live around here. There was a sporting goods store at Westmoreland Mall.
Okay,
I mean, completely out of business now. Now that you have Dick's Sporting Goods and Dunham's and all this other shit, but I went in there as a kid. And I bought a scorebook, a baseball scorebook. And I didn't get every game, but a majority of the Pirate games, even because most of the time back then they were only on radio.
Radio, yep, which is the best way to watch baseball because the umpires can't piss you off.
I would listen to that game and I would score it
in
the scorebook. I would follow everything. I remember as a kid.
Do
as
the stats at the end of the
game. Oh, I know.
Two for three, two RBIs.
Yeah. As a 9-year-old, sitting in front of my television, my parents had already gone to bed.
Well, it was probably after 8.
Watching Kent Tekulve finish the 1979 World Series, and I'm losing my mind, and my parents could have cared less.
Yeah, they don't care.
So, I have a romantic relationship with baseball. There is something about baseball. You do go into PNC Park, and I've been to PNC. I've been to Wrigley Field.
Yep.
I've been to the old Tiger Stadium. I've been to Milwaukee. I've been to Arizona. I've been to a few places, okay?
I've been to all but 5.
Bucket list possible this summer is Fenway.
Okay. Fenway's nice. Here's the thing. Fenway's not nice. Wrigley's not nice.
No.
The stadiums themselves are falling apart.
Yeah, but the atmosphere is...
But you feel shit. You feel shit when you walk in.
Oh, yeah.
You see that green monster, and you don't realize how big it is till you're in the outfield looking down.
Yeah.
You can see the top of the left fielder's head.
Yeah.
And just... Wrigleyville is the area around the stadium.
Awesome.
And you can take the L, which is the above-ground subway, basically. Mm-hmm. You can take an L, and it lets you off at Wrigleyville. And it's just you, bars, and the stadium.
It's amazing.
And it everybody in Chicago.
Shangri-La.
It is one of the best times you'll ever have.
Yes.
And then if you're lucky, you can catch a day game in Wrigley and then go to Comiskey, the new Comiskey, at night, which
and
is
I've
what
been
we've
to both.
Done.
And I've been to both. I remember...
The old Detroit, I can tell you, it was...
Oh, Tiger Stadium.
That old Detroit Tiger Stadium was in the middle. It's on a corner in downtown Detroit. Not the nice area. Every business
around it. Nothing.
Every business on every side of the street had those gates you pull down, security gates.
Yeah.
And it was pawn shops, liquor stores.
Strip bars.
Yeah, nothing. It was the hood.
Well, and I've been to Comerica.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's beautiful. You know, beautiful.
Comerica's nice.
But I remember we went to Tiger Stadium the last year before they were going to tear it down. And I remember back then it was the California Angels. It was still the California Angels. And Chuck Finley was pitching for the Angels.
Lefty.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there. Two stories I remember from this. I remember sitting in on my bleacher seat and feeling water dripping on my head. And it was a clear, sunny day, but there was a pipe.
Oh, yeah.
And God knows what was running through that pipe, but whatever was running through it, part of it was dripping on my head.
It probably wasn't sewer.
Okay. Then I got to see a piece of baseball history. Okay. Where Chuck Finley, I don't know how many have done this, was one of the few pitchers in baseball history to throw 4 strikeouts in an inning.
Okay, so the one guy struck out, the ball got by the catcher, and he ran to first.
Right, and then he struck out the next guy.
Yeah.
So it's a rare feat. It's not a no-hitter. It's not a perfect game, but it's a rare, you know, it's kind of like being there and even just seeing like a perfect inning. You know, 9 pitches, 9, you know, 9 strikes.
3 strikeouts.
Yeah, 3 strikeouts. You're walking out the
immaculate.
Yeah, immaculate. Thank you. Immaculate inning. So I do, you know, going back to my original point, which I've walked around, I do love baseball. All right. Bob Nutting has ruined a lot for me as a Pirate fan.
A lot of Pittsburgh people.
Right. And when I go to PNC Park, I'm there to watch a baseball game. A lot of people are there now for a social evening.
And parties. And drinking.
Right. And they're not even really paying attention to the game.
They don't have time.
No. One of my, our close friend Wayne Wagner has been on our podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
He has, as everybody knows, he knows more about Penn State football than all the reporters do. He has been to Penn State bowl games. He has been a Penn State season ticket holder. He's been a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. He's gone to, you know, umpteen Steeler games, all these sporting events, you name it. He told me the greatest sporting event he ever attended live was that wild card game against the Cincinnati Reds with Johnny Cueto. He said he had...
It was electric.
He said it was... He's been to football games, AFC championship games that were not that loud.
Oh, yeah, it was
crazy. It was absolutely insane.
And there starts chanting Cueto.
Cueto, and he dropped the baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an iconic moment. And then next pitch, home run. Russell Martin.
Russell Martin.
Home run.
Dingered.
Yep. So, you know, in my heart, I would love to see the Pirates be legitimate and be a contender because the city really turns on.
When it really
there's
does.
A lot of excitement.
People go to the games.
But if you all remember when a couple of years ago when the Pirates were really down, they didn't even sell out the home opener. There were empty seats. This year, I think there's some excitement. So I want to talk a little bit about that.
Last year, they all went because of McCutchen.
Because of McCutchen, right.
And that was a neat – I was at home opener last year, and I only went – I'm a Phillies fan.
Yeah.
I only went because my fantasy baseball nerds went.
Yeah.
They go every year.
Right.
But I wanted to see what happened when they announced McCutchen.
Yeah, and that was a great moment.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well-deserved. I mean, there are people crying around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if I was a lifelong Pirate fan, I probably would have shed a tear, at least watered up.
Right.
I was in Pittsburgh. Remember, I'm a Phillies fan.
Yeah.
I was in Pittsburgh when Craig Biggio of the Houston Astros did his farewell tour.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced Craig Biggio for playing for Houston, and the place stood up and gave him a six-minute ovation.
Mm-hmm.
I cried.
Yeah.
Why? Not a Philly.
Yeah.
He's just a good ball player.
Right. You know? He was a ball player.
I just
right.
envy guys that could I could catch anything. I have a cannon for an arm. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hit anything once it got over 85 miles an hour. I just couldn't pull the trigger quick enough.
Right.
Couldn't tell the difference between a fastball and a slider.
Right.
But I was good enough defensively and with an arm to play.
Right.
But I couldn't hit.
Couldn't hit. Right.
Not when it got above 85. It seemed like it was 111.
Looked like a BB gun.
I'd want to swing. I just couldn't pull the trigger quick enough.
Right.
I was too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out.
My first at bat in Little League guy hit me in the head.
I got hit in the. That's weird you said that because I was a 9 year old and started at second base in Little League, 9 through 12. And a 12 year old hit me right between the shoulder blades. And I thought I was dead.
He's trying to send a message.
He sent a message, all right. Talk about stepping out for the next year. Yeah. I got plunked between the shoulder blades by a 12-year-old.
But it's you know, so for the Pirates this year, you know, there's a lot of excitement around Cruz coming back into the lineup.
Yep.
For what it's worth, it's preseason baseball. He's leading the Grapefruit League in.
I don't know how many major leaguers he's hitting those home runs off, but the bottom line is his timing's on.
Yeah.
I mean, even the guys that aren't going to be in a major league still throw 95.
What do you think of Skeens?
We'll see. Here's my one knock on Skeens. He doesn't have much movement on his fastball.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit how hard you throw. Nolan Ryan couldn't get it by a guy if he knew it was coming.
If you have no movement, they're going to get you.
You know, Greg Maddux's fastball was 89.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get 3 feet of it.
Yeah. Well, it also helped that the catcher was 5 inches off the plate and he'd still give him a strike out there.
All the Braves, Glavin, Smoltz, they all did that.
Right.
But Skeens got to be your one. Here's my only problem with Pittsburgh. And they signed Reynolds and Hayes.
They brought Kutch back for another year.
And Keller.
Right.
They just signed Keller.
Just signed him,
but if Keller is your ace, you're not going to win.
Oh, man.
He has an ERA of close to 5.
I think he's a head case.
I think maybe the money will help settle him down. Like, I'm here for a while. I'm not going anywhere. I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But his ERA, if your ace has an ERA of 4.5, it's not an ace.
Yeah.
Now, Skeens, I think, is going to be. I'm not bringing Skeens up and lose a year control out of him. He's not going to be up before June.
I torture a lot of people online because
I wouldn't do it.
I'll say
if I owned the Pirates, I would not bring him up.
You know, if somebody will say, I can't wait to see Skeens. And I'm like, I'll say something like, well, looking forward to seeing him in 2026.
Yeah. He'll be up as soon as he can.
They're going to hold on to that year of control.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have. If you're Pittsburgh, you have to.
Right.
If you're the Yankees, you don't, because you just give him a contract in 2 years.
You just sign him. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, I wouldn't bring him up either. But their pitching is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
That they signed Rowdy Tellez to play first base,
mm-hmm.
who used to be with the Brewers. He had 2 years ago, he had 30 bombs and hit close to 300.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think he had like 12 home runs and could barely hit his weight.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Although that weight's pretty high.
He's a big fat fuck. the guy doesn't miss meals. But Hayes has got to hit 20 homers.
Yeah.
Cruz has got to go 20-20 or 30-30. He could be 40-40, but you can't expect that.
No.
I would say 20-20 after coming back from that injury.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Right.
He could easily be 30-30.
Right.
I've never seen a ball come off a bat in person.
He has the
like him. It sounds different. It looks different.
He has the highest exit velocity in spring training.
I can't even tell you. I saw him in Altoona for a game, and he took a ball two steps into left field in the shortstop third base hole, and actually waited a second.
Yeah.
And then threw
just a
laser and got this guy by two steps at first base.
Yeah.
And the ball, when he threw it, that ball never got 5 feet off the ground. Yeah. It was just a BB. It never sagged. Like, it never went down as it went across.
There was a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah. And when he grounded out to first base, I was watching him in Altoona, and it was the loudest ball I've ever heard come off a bat.
Yeah.
And it was a one hopper to first.
Yeah, and when you hear that ball when he throws it to first base and that pop, when it hits that first baseman's mitt.
Everyone said shortstops can't be that tall. Well, you can if you can bend.
Yeah.
And he can bend.
He can bend.
Now, when he's older, he can't. Right. I get him. You move him to first or something.
Move him to first, yeah.
But Hayes has got to be good. I like Davis as a catcher.
Yeah.
Why in God's name would you pick a guy first overall
and put him
and
in
then not play him in his natural position?
If that's the Pirates for you.
It is.
That's
and it's absolute asinine.
Yeah. That's the Pirates.
Let him catch.
Yeah.
Now, 30 games into the season, if he's throwing out 10% of the runners and he has leads league and pass balls, okay.
Yeah.
Make him a DH.
Right.
Because he can hit.
Oh, yeah. He can
He's
hit.
A good hitter.
Yeah.
So they got Hayes. They got Cruz. Their second baseman, I'm trying
to
think.
What I mean, let's skip to Reynolds.
He had a bad year last year.
Yeah.
He's got to go 25, 30 bombs for them to have a wild card, a chance for the postseason.
Right.
So they could. Mm-hmm. They absolutely could. If they have enough players, if Cruz stays healthy, if Hayes hits like Hayes. And Hayes has been different since he went down and met with his double-A pitching or hitting coach.
And then they fired him.
Yeah, because he went around the major league hitting coach.
Right, who sucked.
Who didn't help him.
No.
But since he did that, his dad, Charlie Hayes, played for the Phillies, played for the Pirates, a couple other teams, a good player.
Right.
His father took him down to meet with his old double-A hitting coach. And when he came back at the end of last year, he started hitting for power, and he started hitting line drives.
Yep.
He's always been a good defender.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it.
Gold Glover.
So let's just see if he remembers that triple-A. Now, if it's me, I take that double-A hitting coach and promote him to the bigs. They fire the guy.
Pirates won't do that.
Right?
Pirates, they think they're the Yankees, and they're not.
I don't get it. But anyway, if Hayes, Cruz, Reynolds, the problem is have a good year, they have a shot. But they all have to have a good year. They have a great farm system, and most of their up and coming guys are pitchers. If you look at their farm system, they're very high rated, and they're all pitchers. And they have like 17 second basemen in the wings.
That's their first round.
That they'll move around. But yeah, they're going to be okay. I mean, they're in a division. I don't know how good Milwaukee's going to be. Cincinnati's got a bunch of young guys that can play.
Yeah, they do.
They were the youngest team in baseball last year. They had a bunch of guys that really became good.
Play.
They have three guys that are hurt.
Experience showed toward the end of the year.
And they don't have a big pitching staff. Right. And they have three guys that are hurt.
Yeah.
They're going to miss the first month or two of the season.
Right.
Three of their best players, young players.
Yeah, the Cardinals are always like, where are the Cardinals? You know, are they, I mean, last year.
Cardinals got old really fast.
Well, and they also.
Goldschmidt.
I remember.
Or Arenado.
You could have said last
Molina.
Year. The Pirates finished ahead of the Cardinals, but yet they were both at the bottom of the division, you know.
Yeah, well, and again, name the top two starters for the Cardinals.
No, can't.
Name the best pitcher after Mitch Keller. Mm.
It's actually their reliever.
Yeah, so if you're going starters,
Bednar.
Priester hasn't done anything.
No.
Ronzi Contreras has been horrible since last year.
The kid who needs Tommy John. Oliveto, yeah.
Well, they have Brubaker, who was out last year.
Yeah.
And he's going to be back about the All-Star break, I think. He had Tommy John.
He had Tommy John, right.
And he was good. He got, well, and I don't know how good he was. He has movement.
Right.
But they picked the right guy. I mean, you got to pick a guy that throws 102. His arm's going to blow out.
He'll need Tommy.
But I mean,
John.
Nolan Ryan, when he first came up, he just threw 102.
Yeah.
Go ahead and hit it if you can. Well, major leaguers can.
Yeah.
If you throw it, if they guess right, you don't have much time to adjust your bat if you're looking inside and it's
you're,
outside.
You're guessing.
You have to.
Yeah.
So they could suck if Reynolds and Hayes have average years, they suck. That's
yeah.
just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
But if they all have good years, they're going to contend for a wild card.
Real quick to wrap it up, were the Penguins finishing where you thought they were? Disappointing or like?
I didn't think they were going to win the division.
Yeah.
I thought they'd make a playoffs and get beat in the first round again.
Yeah.
But you know how I feel about Malkin.
Yeah, I know.
You'd
have traded him 5 years ago. Yep.
And I would have been wrong for the first year. He had a great year. The year I said they should have traded him, he had a really good year. Had 100 points.
Yep.
But since then, I've been right. And again, last night I'm watching a game, or it was the night before, some guy goes by and whacks him in the shins or the back of the ankle, and he goes right after him and gets a penalty, and the Rangers come out and score in a power play.
Right.
He's a liability.
He's old.
Letang's starting to look old.
I think he stole all the Jager bobbleheads.
I don't know. the guy that they signed, the defenseman they just signed.
Oh, Erik Karlsson.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Letang are the same effing guy.
Yeah.
They both want to play offense.
Yeah.
So they get beat on odd man rushes. They get beat on power plays. How you have a power play that's bad with Crosby on it.
And what's sad is Crosby for his age is having an unbelievable year.
He's good.
He's so good.
He's one of the top five all-time hockey players.
Yeah.
And he's just, what do? You can't outscore him. I told you about the goalie. You can't sign Jarry after he single-handedly passed the puck to the wrong team in the playoffs and
he did score a goal this year.
Who cares? That's what I want my goalie to do. Stop pucks, not stop goals, not score.
Not score. Yeah.
I don't like their goaltending. I like their second goaltender, whatever that Russian dude's name. Mm-hmm. I can't say. But his goals against average isn't good.
Yeah.
He just looks good for most of the game, and he gives up three goals right in a row.
Fleury's having a better season for Minnesota than any of the Penguins' goaltenders are.
And I honestly think it's time for a coaching change.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think the message is falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
I don't think they're too old. They're not fast anymore.
There's a lot of dead
I did
on that
like
team.
Getting rid of Guentzel. He's not helping. He's not helping you. Get rid of him.
Yeah.
I don't like what they got back for him.
Well, he's a rental for the rest of the year.
Well, and they got prospects that were, say, the top 15 prospects in the other organization, but they're young. You don't know.
They got to get faster. They're not. I mean, other teams are out skating.
But here's the other problem they had. When you finish at the top of the division, you're in the playoffs until the third or fourth round, and you've won Stanley Cups, you don't get a top 10 draft pick. They got good because they sucked for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up with Crosby and Malkin.
Right.
And guys that could help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They haven't had a good draft spot, and they haven't done good drafting.
No. But they also haven't had...
They haven't had a high draft pick.
They've drafted a lot of...
Their old general manager traded away all their picks.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He went for it.
Yeah. And he won two Stanley Cups.
That's right.
He won two Stanley
but
Cups.
But the cupboard's bare.
Yeah, there's nothing left.
There's no draft picks, and he got rid of all of them, and there's not a lot in AAA.
So next podcast, what do we want to do?
We're going to do an NFL.
Scouting. All right.
And we do want to have a baseball, fantasy baseball.
Why don't we do that next? Because we're getting damn close to the season.
Yeah, we should
do
that maybe next week.
Why don't you call your peeps?
All right.
See if we can get them on for a fantasy draft show.
Yep.
Then the following week, we'll do the NFL scouting.
That's fine.
All right.
That'll give me time to finish it.
Yeah, so that's the plan. Next week, tune in. We're going to have our fantasy draft podcast with Duty and his guests. I will just produce because I don't do fantasy baseball. So I'll just
And we're
produce.
Also going to try to have a live event.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody posted. We're talking to a place here in Greensburg. We're going to talk about doing a live event. Also, I know that, you know, it's nice to do phone calls and stuff like that. That would be something we'd eventually like to do. However, our next step is we're going to get some new equipment that'll make us a little bit more mobile. But also, we're going to start our own YouTube channel. So we're going
to
have...
We're going to have to dedicate a time and a night.
Well, that's it. Yeah, we'll dedicate a time and a night where we say, look, this is where we're going to be doing it. You'll be able to watch it live on YouTube, but then you'll be able to watch the recording. Yeah, you'll be able to comment. Look, and I'm going to set up a... Like, if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you want to give us a buck, a couple bucks, $5, $50... You'll be able to do that. We're going to set up an account.
Well, and here's the other thing we're going to do. If you donate a dollar, anything, you're going to go into a drawing for a T-shirt. We're going to have a basement sports giveaways.
Yep.
We got coupons from, do we have a sponsor for tonight?
Bird on the Run Southside.
So, why don't you tell them a little bit about Bird on the Run?
Bird on the Run Southside, 1733 East Carson Street in the south side of Pittsburgh. Look,
Chick-fil-A on steroids.
Pretty much. You can pick your spice level, chicken sandwiches, nugget strips, fish sandwiches, waffle fries, coleslaw, and then for dessert, delicious beignets with honey. You know, come on down, 1733 East Carson. Enjoy a really, really good meal. It was some great people, great workers. And look, you're going to enjoy your meal. And the one thing about Bird on the Run Southside, you're going to get your money's worth with chicken. It's a big chicken sandwich and also large portions of nuggets and strips. So
what are their hours? What time they close?
So on mostly on weekends, we're every day except for Wednesday. They're closed on Wednesdays. But we're the store opens on all other days at 11 o'clock.
Lunch.
Mondays open till 10, Tuesdays till 10, Thursdays till 11, Friday, Saturday till 2 AM. And then Sunday till 9 p.m.
Drunk chicken.
Yeah, drunk chicken. So Bird on the Run South Side in the South Side, 1733 East Carson Street. Give it a try. But we'll keep everybody posted on if we're doing remote and when our YouTube channel will be up where you'll be able to watch us live. Look, we're going to set up an account. We'd love, you know, if you gave us 10 cents, just something to be able to allow us to expand. We actually need to get a different producing board where we can have more microphones. We'd love to have more live guests and talk to people. We'd love to have a more capacity on our Zoom channel where we can have people on. But
we're not going to be able to sit here in our underwear and drink anymore?
Well, yeah, but we wouldn't be able to be on YouTube at that point. So we'd
aren't you allowed to be in your underwear on YouTube?
Well...
In their boxer briefs.
I'm not sure what kind of donations we'd get if, like, especially you and I were sitting here in our underwear. I'm not quite sure
we'd
it would be
closed down.
Probably shut down.
And what about the flatulence policy?
It would just be because of popular demand to shut us down. It wouldn't be a policy.
Can you fart on YouTube channels?
I've seen a lot of them.
FCC.
You know, some of the funniest YouTube are all like people waking up from colonoscopies and just getting the exhaust.
I'm going to tell you videos that I watch all the time and I think they're hilarious. Dog fart videos.
Those are I can't help it. For those of you who have been with us since the beginning, I'm not sure if I ever broke the news to anybody, but our executive producer dog for many episodes, we called her Ginger. She's no longer with us. I still miss her to this day, but we have a new producer. His name is Scooby. He is a 10-month-old Vizsla,
very handsome.
But because of how Vizslas are and hunting breeds. He has serious ADHD issues right now, so we'll get him.
And because he has paws instead of hands, he can't produce for shit.
Yeah, exactly. But he can look up research.
He does.
He can find us some shit.
He can. So all he does is eat all our snacks.
So anyway, be looking forward to the Fantasy Baseball Draft podcast, which we will bring out next week.
We will have guests on.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we did one of these, and we've had, like I said, like Greg said, we're going to have to get more equipment to expand a little bit, but it's gotten to the point now where we can do that. We're trying to do that. You can still leave comments.
Yeah.
Usually when people listen to this, we've already closed, and it's been a few days, but we do go back and read them. We like to get them. One of the things we're introducing this year is my segment, which is called Eat a Dick Hall of Fame. First member of Eat a Dick Hall of Fame is Roger Goodell. He's a lifetime member. He's been that
way.
He's
the inaugural member.
He's the inaugural and lifetime member because of how much I hate him. Mr. Reactive instead of never proactive. I can't stand the man. But every week we're going to have an Eat a Dick nominee, so you can help us decide who that's going to be. And it could be someone like Kenny Pickett, who got traded because he would not be second fiddle to Russell Wilson, or he wasn't up for a competition. It could be someone that, I don't know, cut you off in traffic. You can let us know.
Give us your nominees.
Yeah, we will take nominees.
Give us your nominees.
We will vote for Eat a Dick of the week.
Actually, that's something I'll put on X. I'll say, like, we'll put all of our nominees and everybody can
I don't know if X will let you write Eat a Dick Award.
I think they will. Now that Elon's in charge, he's
he
a,
might.
He's a
well, free he might
speech
be a nominee.
Absolutist now.
Yeah, and he might be a nominee.
He might. Who knows?
He said
knows?
Some weird shit.
Well, you know what?
We try not to get political. I think we might actually be different political parties between Greg and I. But we try not to get into that too much. Because this started because Greg and I used to get together and drink beer and talk sports. And then he came up with this idea. He says, why don't we do this and see if anyone gives a shit? And we started to have people listening to us. So that's how it started. It's getting bigger. There was a pause because we had some stuff going on personally that we had to take care of. But we will be back on a regular basis, the YouTube channel. So please don't give up on us. Listen to the podcast. Tell us we suck. Tell us you like it. Tell us any comments or possibly topics you'd like us to cover. We usually do a fantasy football. We usually do a fantasy baseball. We don't talk a lot of hockey, only because they suck. We kind of go with what the hot topic is in Pittsburgh, where we both live in Pittsburgh. So the difference is Greg is a Pitt and a Pittsburgh guy, and I'm a Penn State and a Dallas Cowboy guy, and I like the Phillies, and he likes the Pirates. So it gets to be some good discussion. So
well, and also, for all you trolls out there, and I know, like, especially this past week, I was on
Wait,
fire.
You're getting, a troll.
Yeah, I am a troll. Boy, I was getting up people's ass this week. So for all of you that say, oh, he's doing his podcast from his mom's basement, you couldn't be more wrong.
No.
For one. But also, part of the reason why we called it that was to get that reaction out of you idiots. Okay.
Well,
and it worked.
We're going to do it in my basement.
We were going to do it in your basement. We don't live in our mother's basement.
No.
We don't.
We were going to do it in my basement, and it turned out the way our equipment is, we couldn't get a signal.
Like, right. There was no internet signal.
We couldn't even get the damn computer to turn on down there. So we are in a residence, but it's not our mom's residence.
No. No, it's not our mom's residence. So, hey, everybody, thank you so much. If you want to drop us a comment, we are on X, or formerly known as Twitter. You can find us still on Facebook. We're working our way through that. Somebody tried to trademark us or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So we got to work our way through that. But
so we keep posting shit. Sometimes they take it down. Sometimes they don't. Listen to it quickly.
Yeah, listen quickly because it might not last. But
our
also,
next live one will be from the Allegheny County Court to Allegheny Jail.
But also, you can leave us a comment on email, basementsportspodcast@gmail.com. That's basementsportspodcast@gmail.com. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you hear your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good night, everybody.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.